Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one in whose name we pray always as God's children. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, Luke 18, this parable of the unjust judge, or maybe better, the parable of the persistent widow. Let us pray. Lord, ever open our ears and open our minds and our hearts to receive your word. Your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. May it shine brightly on the church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, pray and pray and pray and pray some more. That is the great call, the great encouragement, the great comfort of the gospel lesson, this parable that Jesus teaches. Pray. In this world of evil, this world of suffering, this world of trouble, as the baptized, as believers in Jesus, as the children of God, don't just sit around and whine. Don't sit around and complain. Don't sit around all depressed and sad, poor me. Don't worry and have anxiety. No, in this evil world of trouble where there's much injustice and suffering, pray and pray and pray. Let me say three things about prayer today from the gospel lesson, this wonderful little parable of Jesus. First of all, Jesus would teach us to pray because we have a great, terrible, horrible, persistent adversary who is ever against us. And he ought to drive us to pray to our God for help all the time. Notice in the parable, the widow, this poor, helpless widow, that stands out. She's a widow. She doesn't have a husband. She has no one to help her, defend her. She's probably very poor. She doesn't have any rights, hardly. She's helpless. And she has an adversary on top of all of that. This is how evil the adversary is. Just leave the widow alone. She's a widow. She doesn't have anything anyway. Why are you against her? She has nothing. Yet she has an adversary. An adversary here literally means, as I said in Bible class, opponent at law. She has someone who legally is trying to bring her down with the law. We don't know why. That's not important. But some evil, evil adversary, an opponent at law, is trying to bring her down, take her possessions, the little she has. Take her money, the little she has. Take her land or her home, the little that she has. Maybe have her thrown in jail. Maybe have her killed. A great evil adversary who won't give up. And so she cries for justice from the judge every day, because that adversary is after her. And we all know we have an adversary, an opponent at law who would bring us down and wants to take everything from us. And what's his name? The devil. Satan. Jesus calls him the great accuser. He is our opponent at law. He would use the law of God against us. And he would say, you're a sinner. You've broken the law of God. You have sinned. And because of sin, by the law, you deserve death. And not just physical, temporal death. You deserve to go to hell. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. God will never forgive you all your sins. Don't you ever think that. You're worthless. You're guilt-ridden. You're going to go to hell. You're a nobody. God doesn't care. Nobody cares. You're a poor, helpless widow. No one cares about you. He would ever use the law against us to condemn us. And we all sense that at times when we feel so horrible over our sins. And could God ever really forgive me? And does God ever really love me? But we have a weapon. The widow has a weapon against this horrible adversary. Her weapon is persistent crying to a judge. One of our weapons in this battle against the devil is prayer, persistent crying to our God for help. We have many weapons in the spiritual fight. Read Ephesians. We have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the belt of truth, the sandals fitted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have many weapons. Another great weapon is prayer. For we are the children of God. We are helpless against the adversary, but we have a God who's not helpless, a God who's stronger and greater, our refuge, our strength, our fortress. I was walking the other day, and as I was walking out, I walked by a house, and guess what came out after me? A big, big German shepherd. He came down the driveway barking, barking, big, loud bark, big, beautiful dog. And as he was coming at me, what was my response to this big German shepherd coming at me with a big, loud bark? He wasn't real happy I was there. Did I say, bring it on, German shepherd? Because I'm a German shepherd too. I'm a pastor shepherd, and I'm German busher. Let's bring it on, big guy. That's not what I did. Did I give him a piece of meat? I didn't have one in my pocket at the time, or I would have. No piece of meat. Here, big boy. Did I run? You know, I'm fast, but I can't outrun a German shepherd, I don't think, kids. What did I do? Please stop. Please just stop. Stop. Don't bite me. Don't hurt me. I'm just thinking, stop. And the big German shepherd stopped a few yards away in the end of the driveway, barked a little bit. I could see he was kind of friendly. I walked on. He walked back up. That's not how it works with the devil. The devil's not a nice German shepherd whose bark is bigger than his bite. He is a roaring lion who would devour us. And giving him a meat stick won't help. Running won't help. Saying, please stop, won't help. We pray. We cry. Lord, defend me. Deliver me from the evil one. Forgive me. Help me. Be my refuge, my rock, my strength. That's what we do. We pray for help. And the Lord comes speedily. Secondly, we ever pray with assurance. We Christians pray with great, great confidence and assurance. One of the underlying things of the parable is the confidence of this widow. I mean, she keeps going to the judge because she has an adversary who won't give up, but also because she has great confidence, great assurance that she'll be proven right. She has every confidence that she will win the case if she can bring the case to the judge. She's going to win against the adversary. She has come as, I will win. I'm a poor widow, but I'm going to win against this adversary. The law is in my favor. I'm going to win the decision. I just got to get it before the judge. She has confidence and assurance. And this is the assurance that we have. When we pray, we don't pray 50-50. Well, maybe God loves me. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe God's on my side. Maybe not. I don't really know. Maybe God will forgive. Maybe he won't. Maybe God will help. Maybe he won't. I'm not really sure. It's kind of like pie in the sky, wishful thinking, throwing a dart out there. Maybe God will help. We have confidence. We're the children of God. We're bold. God has already vindicated me at the cross. He forgives me. He's already conquered the devil. So get away, devil. You're conquered. Get out of here. Confidence and boldness is God's children. You have a great contrast in the parable between the judge and God. And there's a lesson here from the lesser to the greater. Meaning that the judge is evil. He says he's evil. He doesn't care about God or men. He's an evil judge. And yet, as an evil judge, he still gives justice to the widow. And if an evil judge gives justice to a widow, how much more our God will? Because God is so good and gracious. The judge is just a judge. He has no relationship with the widow. There's no relationship, or he doesn't know her name. They're unrelated. It's just a judge and a widow. No relationship. And yet if he helps the widow when he doesn't really even know her, how much more our God will help us because he knows us. We're his children. We're baptized. Of course God will help us because we're his. We have a much greater relationship. We're the children of God. So pray. The judge is worried about his reputation a little bit. The judge says to himself, and this is to note, Jesus says, listen to the unrighteous judge. He says, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Literally in the Greek, he says, I'm going to give her justice because so she doesn't give me a black eye. That's literally what it means. Some commentators think the widow is going to actually take a stick and start beating him. She wants justice so bad he's afraid of getting beaten by the widow. Probably doesn't really mean that. Probably talking about reputation, that she doesn't give me a black eye, I mean, she won't ruin my reputation. She won't go around and say, he's unjust, he's a bad judge, don't go to him. And yet he's evil, he doesn't care a whole lot about her reputation, but a little bit. And the point being, God really cares about his reputation. And God doesn't want to receive a black eye, meaning his reputation ruined. And our God's reputation is that he's merciful. That's God's entire identity and reputation. He's a God of mercy for sinners. A God who forgives sins and all of them. A God who saves. A God who redeems. A God of love. That's God's whole reputation bound up in a cross. There's God's reputation. I die for sinners. And so if this evil judge cares a little about his reputation and thus gives justice, how much more our God will hear our prayers because his reputation is so great and glorious and he really cares about his reputation. Let's pray with assurance. One of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther is where Luther says, "Pray like a dog watches meat." How does a dog watch meat? He really, really watches the meat. His eyes are on that meat. He's salivating. He's licking already. He smells it. He gets closer and closer to the meat. He really wants that meat. Nothing will distract him. I want that meat. And he waits patiently and waits patiently and gets closer and closer. I want that meat. Pray like that. Pray not distracted on all the things of life, but pray with our focus on Jesus. He's our meat. He's our bread. Pray with our focus on his birth. He was born for me. The cross, he died for me. The resurrection, he rose again for me. My baptism, where he washed me. Communion, where he feeds me of himself. Pray with your entire focus on Christ, my master, who will give me all good things in his time. That's confidence. The dog doesn't always get the little bit of treat from the master, does he? We always get the blessing from our Father, and speedily. We get it today. It's called absolution, Holy Communion. It's all right here. And then last of all, to summarize the whole thing, pray because of the answer. Pray because God's already given us the answer to our prayers. And the answer ultimately is yes. God says yes to his people in Christ Jesus. The parable ends with this evil judge giving vindication or justice to the widow. No one thought that would happen. This adversary is so smart and big, he's surely going to win out over this poor, helpless widow. But no, the judge gives justice to the widow. He rules in her favor. That's the answer. And so our God has ruled in our favor. And when you think of the answer to prayer, the ultimate answer to prayer is the cross. Jesus says at the end that the justice will be given speedily. He soon will die. You're going to see the answer, disciples. I'm going to die on the cross where I provide justice. I win the court case in your favor. I will die for your sins. I will pay your death. I will pay your hell. I'll do it all for you. And you're vindicated. You conquer the devil. He can no longer accuse you. He's talking about his cross. You pray, look at the cross. The answer's at the cross. Jesus died for you. You're forgiven. A second way God answers is right here today. God knows we doubt his answer. He knows we doubt we're forgiven. He truly loves us, that we're going to go to heaven, that we're going to win out over the devil. And so the absolution is the answer. You're forgiven. I told you before at the cross, you're forgiven. Now you're forgiven. Believe it. The answer is Holy Communion. My body, my blood, for the forgiveness of your sins. You're forgiven. You're not guilty. The case is over. Believe it. I know you doubt it, but believe it. It's over, you're acquitted, you're justified, you're forgiven, you're mine. Believe it in this troubled world. And the ultimate answer is when he takes us to heaven. And we are fully, completely vindicated and proven to be right by the whole world. Now the world doesn't think we're right. They think we're silly for being here. We're outcasts, but we're totally vindicated, proven to be right on the last day when he comes and takes us to heaven and gives us our glorious home, his glorious home. Raises our bodies from the dead. Death's been defeated. We're holy and pure perfectly. Body and soul and all. Pure. Sins forgiven. The devil in hell. We've won. Heaven. His ultimate answer is cross, word and sacrament, and then the last day. When I was at a conference the last few days, I heard a cute story about listening. The story goes like this. A woman was going to have her 60th birthday. And she had been married to her husband for a while. And a few days before her birthday, she was in their room kind of changing dresses and seeing what fit, doing her makeup. And her husband asked her, you know, what would you like for your birthday coming up, honey? She said, I'd like to be 6 again. Ah, he listened. He's a good husband. So her birthday comes and he brings her Lucky Charms for breakfast. That's what a 6-year-old likes, Lucky Charms.
He takes her to Six Flags. And they do all the rides at Six Flags. She's worn out. She's frazzled. But all the rides, that's what you do for a six-year-old. Cotton candy, corn dogs. But that's not the end. In the evening, he gets her a Happy Meal from McDonald's because that's what a six-year-old really likes. At the end of the day, he says, "Well, honey, what did it feel like to be six again?" She said, "I didn't mean 6 years old. I meant I wanted to be size six again." So the moral of the story is that men listen, but they really don't listen. But, we have one man who listens well, and he gets it right every time. And that's a man who is also God. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the judge. When he listens, he gets it right. He answers right. He dies on a cross for us. He rises again. He forgives my sins. He feeds me this day right here in his house with his precious body and blood. And one day he will take me to heaven. He gets the answer right. He listens to our prayers. So, friend, pray and pray and pray. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.